Well, good morning. We are continuing our series on the Christmas conspiracy, and this week we're looking at giving more. But before we dip into that, I want to read from John chapter 1. So if you've got Bibles and you want to follow, or if you've got the Bible app, you can find it there. It'll also be on the screen. But we're going to read from John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Okay, so according to the Daily Telegraph, according to the Daily Telegraph, there are three gifts, must-have gifts, this year for Christmas. The first one is there on the screen. It is the Hape Trick and Twists marble track. Has anyone got that yet? Oh, the kids are out. That's all right. That's the number one, the one gift up there. The number two is the Funko Pop Groot. There he is. Now, I feel like they've been around for... I'm out of touch a little bit because my boys are a bit older. But I feel like the Funko Pops have been out for a few years, so I was a bit surprised to see that one. But the third one, here it comes. This one. Now, if you've not bought my Christmas present yet, because I'm sure you've all been thinking, what am I going to get for Andrew? This is it. The Lego Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi Starfighter set. I would quite like about 100 of them. That'd be brilliant. I'm sure Amanda would appreciate that. it's interesting, isn't it? I think we could be forgiven, anyone of us in the West in particular, could be forgiven for thinking that Christmas was about gifts. That gift and giving gifts to people, giving presents particularly to people, is what Christmas is about. The organised ones in the room have already bought all their presents, I'm sure, this year. Actually, can we do a hands up? Who's got all their presents all sorted? They've got them done. Any of you lot got them wrapped as well? Some of you have. That is impressive. That is brilliant. I am impressed. But if you're more like me, the last 5 minutes have just caused you a bit of anxiety, a little bit more stress, thinking, oh no, I've still got to get a present for Auntie Mary or Cousin John or whoever, because there are so many demands upon us. And it's become a tradition, hasn't it? It's not probably the word we would use necessarily for it, but it's a tradition that we have. Every year we make sure we... those ones who had their hands up who... who've already wrapped their presents. Probably you started your lists in January or something like that, and you got them on your phone. But most of us have, you know, as we come into December, we're starting to think, oh, I need to think about presents. It's part of the pattern and the rhythm of how we do Christmas. This morning, I want us to think about what giving actually looks like. What the essence of the Christmas gift of God sending Jesus means to us, and how we should demonstrate that to others. Because I think through our traditions, we say a lot. We teach a lot through the things that we do, the things that we say. I want to share a couple of traditions of my own with you. These will probably, some of these will be, or a couple of these will be familiar to you. They're not mind-blowingly different from a standard family. But one of our traditions when I was a child growing up was we'd wake up. I say we. I've got an older brother and a younger brother, so I'm a middle child. And we'd wake up in the morning and we'd have a few gifts, maybe in a stocking at the end of the bed. But really the ones that we cared about were the ones that were downstairs in the lounge in three different piles. We'd run downstairs excitedly after we'd littered the bedroom with gifts, the presents from the stocking, and we would spend time just looking at the three piles of gifts. There was my older brothers on the side. He always got all the techie cool stuff because he was the big brother, so he was responsible, so he was allowed all of that. And then on the end was my little brother's pile of stuff. He was the youngest, so I'm pretty sure they built a foundation on the floor to make sure that the pile of gifts was structurally sound for my younger brother. And there was my little pile as the middle child. I got a couple of gifts in there. I could picture my parents on Christmas Eve, because my dad's a bit like me. He's a bit of a last minute sort of person with gifts, and they're there they are looking at the piles, my mum and my dad, and they go, oh, Russell, my older brother, oh, his pile looks good. He's got a nice Philip, my younger brother. Oh, that we could probably do with a couple more for him. Yeah, we could stick it with, there's space for a few more on top there. And then suddenly they look at my pile and there's nothing there. Like, oh no, we've forgotten Andrew again. But it's okay, my mum turns around, there's a ball of string. So, oh, I'll wrap that up, you'll like that. That'll be perfect for Andrew. You'll be pleased to know. But that was one of our Christmas traditions, the excitement of coming downstairs. Another one that we had was after the gifts were given out from under the tree, there'd be a load left over. And they would always be my mum's. She'd always have like five or six extra presents from friends. So our tradition was that when the gifts were given out from under the tree, we'd all watch everyone opening their presents. And the most boring time was the last 20 minutes where we just watched my mother opening up the presents from her friends, as she did at the end. But I wonder what we're teaching our children and our grandchildren and our families and our friends by our Christmas traditions. The traditions that we set out each year, whether they're intentional traditions or not, we have these things that we do, and they tell a story. They say something about who we are and about what's important to us and what we value. Presents should be at least as much about the gift giver as they are about the receiver, shouldn't they? Presents should be at least as much about the gift giver as they are the receiver. I think sometimes we lose that a little bit. And the Christmas story is about a gift giver. It's about a gift that God has given to all mankind. And I want to pick up four different types of gifts that we can find in John chapter 1. The first one is the eternal gift. An eternal gift. It says in the beginning, in verse 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. In fact, Jesus was and is the Word. So when God speaks words of life into existence, when God speaks creation into existence. Jesus, the Word, is that spoken word. You see, the incarnation is not the fact that Jesus is God. It's the fact that God himself enters the world. The eternal, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God steps into the world that he created as a created being. And that concept blows me away time and again. The creator, the one who created everything, steps into our world as a created being. As Jesus, God lives a full life in flesh and blood, experiences grief and joy, tears and laughter, pain and death, goes through all the experiences that we go through. Ultimately, though, rising again and ascending to heaven to take his rightful place as the eternal God. And in the process, offers us that opportunity of eternal life, eternal relationship with the Father. It is the gift of eternity from the eternal gift-giving God. The gift is God's to give, but it gives us a role to play. Another Christmas tradition that we had when I was growing up that I then carried on with my own children was the one who handed out the presents from under the tree. That role fell to my dad. He was always the one who would pick the present up from under the tree and then hand them to us. And as I say, we would then receive that gift and open it while everyone else watched. And it would take quite a long time. We learned patience a lot in my family over Christmas. But my dad was the one who got to do that. He had the responsibility of giving the gift to us. He would read the tag on the back, because the gift wasn't from him, but he was sharing that gift. He was allowing us to see that gift. And as a polite middle child that I was, I always said thank you as I received that gift. I didn't just rip off the wrapping paper as quick as I could. But actually, it wasn't until I became a father and thought, oh, I'm going to take on that role. I want to do that for my children, that I realized what an honor and a privilege that actually was, to be the one to give someone the gift, even if it wasn't my gift to give. I was handing it over. I was showing that gift. And that honor, that role, that privilege is actually the role and the privilege that God gives to us. We are not the eternal gift giver, but God gives us the responsibility and the honor of sharing that gift, of showing that gift to other people. There is no greater gift that we could ever want than knowing that our eternal future is secure in the hands of the God who created us. We know this to be true, and we have the joy of being able to share that with others. You saw the Alpha video came up just earlier, and I want to encourage you Alpha's just a tool. It's nothing more than that. It's a great tool that we've seen amazing fruit from here at Christ Church. And I just want to encourage you, if you've got a friend or a family member or someone in mind that you would like to invite them, because it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to say to someone, this is the gift of eternal life. It's on offer for you. So the 16th of January, you've got a nice couple of weeks, or three, maybe even 4 weeks, I don't know, I haven't worked it out, until Alpha starts. A great opportunity to be able to invite someone along. Pray for someone to come. And I just want to also say, on a practical level, if you want to come along as well, if that's the support that your friend needs or your family member needs in order to come to Alpha, you're very welcome to join them. You can come and be there with them for a few weeks or for the whole course if you like, if that means that they're going to come along and be a part of the opportunity to unwrap the Christmas or the Christian faith together. The second gift is the gift of his presence. In verse 9, it says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And Jesus coming into this world meant that we were blessed with his presence and his example on how to live life. There is no doubt about it. God is a personal God, not a distant being who has no interest in our lives, but actively chooses to step into our lives and into the lives of individual people with his presence. Mark 14, the whole of Mark 14 is a great chapter. There's a couple of great stories in there. I just want to pick up verse 22, where it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side where he dismissed the crowd. The context of that verse is that Jesus was feeding 5,000 people with fish, with loaves and fish. Jesus wanted to be in the presence of other people. The crowds were following him, and Jesus wanted to be where the people were, but actually he also wanted to be present with his friends. So he sent his friends away and joined them later after he dismissed the crowds, because Jesus wants to be with us. After the busyness of the crowd, Jesus chose time with his friends. A few years ago, my brother gave me a gift, and he came up to me. It was a tiny gift because, as I say, I'm the middle child. So just a little gift. And it was on a card, but it was one of the best gifts I've ever received. And I opened this card, and on one side, it just said a date and clay pigeon shooting. And I got to go I've never been clay pigeon shooting before. And I got to go with my two brothers, clay pigeon shooting. And although it was a lot of fun shooting things out of the sky, the best part was the time that I got to spend with my brothers. Just being present with them. It wasn't an expensive gift. It wasn't something which took up a lot of our extra energy. We just turned up and spent time in the presence of one another. And as I say, one of my best gifts I've received. This Christmas, one of the greatest gifts we can give others is our presence. If you've ever read the book, The Five Love Languages, by Gary Chapman, you'll know that one of those love languages is quality time. And Gary Chapman says this: quality time doesn't mean that we have to spend our together moments gazing into one another's eyes. It means that we are doing something together and that we are giving our full attention to that other person. I want to encourage you to be present with someone this Christmas. The third gift is a personal gift. Verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This gift, the gift of Jesus, was for you. When God sent Jesus, he was thinking of you. He wanted you to be a part of his family, to be called his child. Such was his love. The extremities of God's love stretched so far that Jesus would come to this earth, the Creator as a created being, live and die for you. It was a personal gift. It is a personal gift to every individual. This gift is freely given. God sending Jesus is a loud and clear message saying, I love you. 1 John 3:16 says this: this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I love that verse because Jesus sets the example and he calls us to follow, to give ourselves to others, to be a personal gift for those around us. You see, we crave that sense of intimacy, don't we? We crave the sense that we have a need for community. It's the created beings that God has made us in his image. We need to be in relationship. Whether that be our husband, our wife, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our siblings, our friends, there is nothing greater than a personal gift, one that screams, "I love you." My stepdaughter Gabby she's very creative, and she's absolutely brilliant at this. She will spend hours making things. So she puts me to shame. I'm not saying that we should all be able to be really creative, but what I love about it is the fact that she just spends time thinking about the person that she's going to give a gift to, and she'll sit there and she'll create and she'll make something. It's not expensive, it's not a big cost thing, but actually the time that she spends, the effort that she spends personally thinking about the individual, says 1,000 words. And lastly, the gift is a vulnerable gift. Verse 14 says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The most vulnerable thing God could ever have done, become flesh and blood for us. Jesus takes a risk on us. He leaves the safety of heaven. He lets us know he loves us. He lays down his life for us. God makes the first move. In fact, God makes every move. And it's a huge risk. He does all we need him to do. All we have to do is receive that gift, to accept what God has done for us. I think Simon, it was shared a few weeks ago, the image of God and man on the Sistine Chapel by Michelangelo, which is up on the screen there. The image of God stretching out his hand to man, straining, doing everything he can to reach us, being willing to look foolish for our sake. And then the simplicity of what we need to do in response, a simple move in order to make that connection. For the last couple of months, I've not been able to drive, so I've had a driver take me into work every morning. That sounds more impressive than it is. It's just one of the other teachers at the school drives me. And I didn't know him very well beforehand because he worked in a different department from me. So we got in the car together. We started these journeys and got to spend some significant time together and have started to build a really good friendship over the last couple of months. But as me being me, I'm always looking at ways I can share my faith with him. I'm thinking, how can I tell him about what I believe? And that's always on my mind on the car journey as we go in. And there was this one particular day where we're driving into Hartford and we stop outside a church. And I can't remember what he said, but he said something about the church. And I just said, "Oh, I know the vicar there." And he was like, "Oh, how do you know the vicar?" And that was my in. And then began this conversation. I was really excited and really pleased that I'd started to share my faith with him. So then on the Sunday, I came here and I grabbed a whole load of the service times for Christmas. I thought, I'm gonna make sure I invite him to the Christmas service. Now, up until this point, it had been nice and easy, gentle conversation, but this was a vulnerable moment because I was taking a risk. I was asking him to make a decision, to say yes or no. He could have thought I was being a bit pushy. Like previously, it was just my own personal faith. Now I was inviting him to be a part of it as well. But I took the risk. And I said, "Do you want to come to one of our Christmas services?" And you know what? He said, "No." Ooh. So fortunately, he didn't chuck me out of the car at that point. But he said, "No." It was a risk I took. And I didn't know how he'd react. I'm still going to keep trying, by the way. He's not got away with it that easily. But God calls us to be vulnerable, doesn't he? to take risks on those around us, on our friends and our family. God, our God, arrives as a vulnerable baby, totally dependent upon Mary and Joseph, a regular Jewish couple. In a little while, we're going to sing a song called Manger Throne. And I just want to read, because you might not be familiar with this song. I'm just going to read out the first verse. It says this: You could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see, brought every tribe and nation to their knees, arriving with the host of heaven in royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth all bowing down, but you chose meekness over majesty. Our God didn't come blasting his way onto this earth in power. He could have done, but arriving meekly as a vulnerable baby. He didn't come to the sound of trumpets and loud noises, but quietly in an insignificant town. God didn't come spreading fear and terror, but gentleness and love. This is the gift of vulnerability that God shows us. Be in the first step to step out and say, I love you, I care, you're precious to me. This Christmas, the greatest gift we may give someone is letting them know that they are loved. You may need to pick up the phone and take a risk. Be vulnerable. Start the process of mending a broken relationship, or even simply reigniting one which has gone cold. You may even feel like you're the one who's been wronged, or they should make the first move. But God's gift is a vulnerable gift, one that requires us to make the first move. But God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8. For you and for me, that vulnerable gift is ours. And may we be an example to others of that vulnerability. Just going to invite the band to come to the front to sing that song, or to lead us in that song together, and our closing prayer. Father God, thank you for your gift to us this Christmas. Thank you for what it means. Lord, thank you for the traditions that we have. I pray, Lord God, that our traditions would be an example of that gift, an eternal gift, a personal gift, a gift of presence and a vulnerable gift. Lord, may we demonstrate that to those around us as we are a witness in this world for you. In your name, amen.